Mr. Morn's journey home. Now, the first ever Doctor Who-themed prom concert takes place at the Royal Albert Hall on Sunday. The woman behind the highly distinctive, eerily pulse-racing theme tune was called Delia Derbyshire, an eccentric but hugely talented composer who died 7 years ago. Relatively unknown during her life, she's now enjoying cult status as one of the pioneers of electronic music. Dick Mills is here. He's a sound engineer who worked with her. Dick, good morning to you.
Morning.
And we also have Elizabeth Parker, who also worked at the BBC Radiophonic Workshop and is in our studio in Plymouth, I think it is. Elizabeth, good morning to you.
Hello.
Tell us about that theme tune that we played right at the top of the show this morning. Everybody who's around my age in their 40s will remember the first time they heard it. It's still quite spooky, isn't it?
Is it me?
No, Dick, it's definitely Elizabeth.
Go on, Liz.
That's a radio pro there pulling me up. It's got off to a great start. Come on, Elizabeth.
No, it's an amazing sound. It's incredibly elegant and simple. And that bass riff that you have at the beginning is something that people recognise all the way around the world. And then the very simple ghostly tune. It's a fantastic classic of its time.
Yeah. Now, Dick, we must be careful here because it was a man called Ron Grainer who composed this music,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
What magic did Delia bring to it?
She turned a simple manuscript of the tune and the rhythms into audible reality and things that sent people behind the settee straight away.
What did she do? What were the mechanics of all this?
The mechanics were a lot of hard work, a lot of recording single sounds and re-pitching them and sticking them together with sticky tape. There was no musical instruments. There was no synthesizers. There was no multi-track.
No samples.
No samples. Well, yes, if you record a sound onto a loop of tape and then alter that, that's a sample, but it's not on a floppy disk or anything like it is today.
It was all pretty painstaking stuff.
It was.
And I get the impression that Delia was somebody who was passionate, who would, if she had to, work right through the night to get something absolutely right.
Yes, she was a mathematician by training, and she brought this analytical sort of gift to everything. I think she enjoyed more actually planning what she was going to do than actually arriving at the conclusion.
Well, we're going to hear a track now. This is called Blue Veils and Golden Sands. And Dick, I think this involved the use of a lampshade.
Oh, yes, the enamel green lampshade from the workshop. Delia analysed the film of the Tuaregs in the desert. She counted the number of camel's feet going across.
This was a documentary about a Saharan tribe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she based her music around the tempo of the camels walking along. And also she recorded a single voice note of her own and repitched that to do the tune over the top. And if I can just read this, so the camels rode off into the sunset with my voice in their hooves and green lampshades on their backs.
You're reading from a history of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. Yeah, okay, that's lovely. Let's hear that then. Blue Veils and Golden Sands. Yes, we're right out there in the vastness of the Saharan desert. Elizabeth, for anybody who doesn't know, the Radiophonic Workshop, I imagine, was a place packed with eccentrics. But even in this environment, Delia stood out, didn't she?
She did. And I must admit, when I said that I was going to work at the Radiophonic Workshop, somebody said, oh, you don't want to work there. They're a load of nutters. But Delia, I didn't really know exactly what she did because nobody actually had credits at that point. And I only learned afterwards all the beautiful stuff that I really admired had been created by her.
What about her physical appearance? I know that many people remember her elegance. When she entered a room, you knew about it, didn't you?
Well, I saw her walking up to Portland Place. At least I saw this figure with a great flowing cloak and an enormous hat. And I thought, that has to be Delia. We were going to a Radiophonic Workshop party. And when we got inside, lo and behold, it was her. And very elegant, very beautiful, and very distinctive voice, too.
She was, though, apparently, Dick, addicted to snuff.
Yes, she took tobacco in its alternative form. And as Elizabeth said, the working hours were self-imposed long, because you can't turn creativity on and off from 9 till 5, and if it's going well, you tended to stay there until it,
finished.
Until it was finished.
It was perfect.
Yes.
You mentioned her mathematics. She had a degree in maths and music, didn't she? Let's just listen to her talking here about the sound, about the mechanics of sound, about sound frequencies. Here she is.
I find myself much more bass sensitive than most other people. Other people have more sensitivity to certain frequencies. We did an experiment about sensitivity to high frequencies. All of us had an extreme sensitivity to a frequency which was 900 and something cycles. One girl had a fantastic peak at something over 2K. And we eventually had to put that down to the fact that she just recently had a new baby. And she was really sensitive to this particular high frequency, which was probably the frequency of the baby's cry.
Elizabeth, a very distinctive voice, apart from anything else.
Yes, I mean, I really, really admire the way that she was able to make the sounds. And she had a very distinctive way of doing the sounds. And I think of her when she was talking about sirens and how they influenced her Doctor Who theme. And I remember lying in bed and thinking of Milkman and delivering his milk and clinking the bottles and thinking that's a really interesting sound. And in a way, I know that's how she thought about sound. Quite a different approach.
There have been people, I think Orbital, the group, or a member of Orbital, have really praised her lately, saying that some of the stuff that she was making 30 years ago could be released as a really effective dance track now, and people would still like it. I mean, were you aware that she was ahead of her time? In fact, was she?
I don't think she was, and I think they've just found this amazing dance track with this thudding bass, boom, 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 which is absolutely 40 years ahead of its time. And the sort of sounds that she was creating, you almost hear people imitating them now on chill CDs. Really, I think when they start to release all her work, people will be absolutely amazed.
Yeah, Dick, are you familiar with chill CDs, or have you left all that behind?
I've left all that behind. I was getting a bit nervous when you said 30 years ago, because I can still remember it.
Well, there's no reason why you shouldn't. I mean, it was a great time. I mean,
it was fantastic.
Some amazing work.
And Delia, covered the whole spectrum from comedy with Family Car signature tune right through to Barry Bermange radio inventions. It wasn't just music. She could turn everything into music. She was very adept at turning the spoken word or animal noises into a musical background collage. So, you know, she did everything.
Well, Dick, it's been lovely to meet you. Thank you very much indeed for coming in. And Elizabeth Parker, thank you too. And if you'd like to hear more of Delia Derbyshire's really newly released archive, there are links to it on the Woman's Hour website. Lovely to talk to you both. Thank you. Now, our Friday panel has